Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3 has begun. Begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're kicking it on SiriusXM Channel 204. Sunday, Bloody Sunday, Sports Grid, Radio, Networks. Jason B. Takafin will join us in a couple of moments. We'll talk some baseball as we are breaking down the overnight Olympic action. And speaking of the U.S. Olympic team, actually, the men's basketball team, I saw a story the other day that Julius Randle was not offered a spot on the team, that he would have played and he wasn't even invited, like, at all. It's pretty crazy when you consider some of the dudes that are on this team. What's that about? Like, seriously, like, what's that about? So if you're hardcore, like you probably are, if you're tuning into this show, we've got women's basketball coming up at 4:20 a.m. Eastern time. Symbolic. Light one up at 4:20. 1:20. Light one up, whatever. People say, oh, it's 4:20 day. It's 4:20 day every day. But Canada versus Serbia, the line keeps changing, man. It was like a pick 'em. It's up to 3.5 right now. Serbia are laying 3.5 to the Canadian women. Now, we misread the, I got to tell you, we misread this Slovenia match. All right, Slovenia versus Argentina. It's a massacre. I didn't take Argentina. I wish I would have laid the points to Slovenia. I took the under, and it's a big problem. The game's going to go over the number. It's Slovenia is killing them. They're up by 22 points after three quarters of play. Yet, we're not deterred. We're gonna move forward. You know who's on Japan? Hachimura from the Washington Wizards. Gonzaga. He's a good player. Hachimura's on Japan. Watanabe from the Raptors is on Japan as well. So they've got some players here on their team. I think it's too many points. Plus, they are the home nation. You know, it's funny. That spread's coming down. Son of a. I swear, it was like 18.5, 19.5 a little while ago. Down to 16.5 right now. So, I think people are saying, yeah, you know what? We think we're going to jump in on Spain. So Spain are getting Spain and Japan. Spain are laying 16.5 right now. Japan plus 16.5. Total, 153.5. And it's a pretty low total when you consider what these other numbers have been in the tournament, but I don't know. These games have been going under the number. Slovenia and Argentina sailing over. Japan and Spain. My inclination is to go over the number at 153.5 just because it's so low. And it is low. So we've got overnight Olympic action. We'll try to, before we're done here, we'll set you up with some early morning stuff as, you know, every one of these events counts. Especially when you're playing the over in the American gold medals. We've got over 44.5, but we're getting a little bit worried. Oh, yeah. We're kicking it. Sunday, Bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates as we've got Olympic madness right now in the late night hours. We've also we've hit on the Gold Cup. We talked a little college football. And I'm actually really getting excited for the college football season. We've been talking a lot of NFL football on the show. We will again tomorrow with Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. But as you know, we talk about NFL win totals and the book hanging on to your money. College football is rapid fire. It's a 12-game campaign. When you're betting the regular season, when you're betting the win totals of a college football season, the championship game doesn't count. The bowl games don't count. Right? It's the regular season. So it's 12 games in a regular season once again this year. Last year was abbreviated due to COVID, obviously. So 12 games, whatever, bro. It's 3 months. It's 3 months. And we've accumulated quite a list here of teams. And there's a couple of more that we like. But the fact of the matter is FanDuel doesn't have every team up. Right? And it's probably a good thing. I'm probably saving myself money with this, actually. But we've literally got 12 to 15 college plays. I got a couple of college football division futures that we're taking a look at as well. The Pac-12 is a very interesting conference to me this year. There's a lot of question marks in the Pac-12. We've seen the Pac-12 is on the upswing. And I was tweeting about this earlier today, actually. With all the talk of all these college football super conferences, I personally think that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 should merge. I know it sounds sort of crazy, but it really isn't if you think in the modern era right now. Geography means nothing anymore in college football, right? There's talk of Oklahoma State going to the Pac-12. There's talk of Kansas going to the Big Ten, which actually they're not far away from. But, you know, we've seen. And if everyone else sits by, guys, I'm telling you what. The SEC will take over the world. They don't care. They don't care where you are. It's pretty clear. They'll just pluck the best teams out of every conference and make a super conference. It's time for the other conferences to, like, merge. It's like gang warfare. Like, you got no choice. Pac-12, Big Ten, great merger. Take over the country. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
For picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You also know we're kicking it on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio Networks, the loudest station in the nation. You know, it's Sunday night, so we're going to talk some baseball with one of our favorite guests. And I know we say this every week, but there really is a ton of stuff to get to this week. Jason B. Takaffin steps up in it. Jason was a general manager in the minor leagues for years, and he was a damn good one. He won 3 championships with the Vancouver Canadiens. And there's a fascinating story about the Angels minor league organizations and the treatment of their minor league players. And we're going to get Jason's take on that. There's a ton of stuff to get to. Jason, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Gabe, we got that story. We got players changing teams changing names. This past week was so hot.
And we're going to have a hell of a lot of more players changing teams. So let's start off with your team right now, the Boston Red Sox. Now, a Major League Baseball season is a long one. There's 162 games. But I don't care. Seasons are defined by weekends, by games, and there's always that. You know what? It was when we came back that day. That's when it really, you know, oh yeah, that night in June when we were down, or that bonding moment. And I think today might be remembered in which it's like, wow, the Red Sox really do have something going on here. They're 22 games over 500 right now. And is this the day that the Yankees died? Let's start off with the Yankees. Dude, they had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning. So Herman had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning. Yankees have a 4-0 lead, guys. And not only is the no-hitter broken up, they end up losing a baseball game. The Yankees end up losing. Another gut-wrenching way for the Yankees to lose a game. What's your take on what went down today?
Yeah, you don't really need to look at today. You got to look at the four-game series as a whole. Gabe, I know you're a Michigan Wolverines fan, just like your boy Brady Hoke used to say, in alluding to the Ohio State game. It's not just another game. Yankees-Red Sox isn't just another series. It just means a little bit more. And you know what? The Yankees should have won 3 out of 4 in this series. They were on Thursday in the opener. They were up by 2 runs in the ninth inning, and they took out Luis Sessa after a 1-2-3-8. They should have won that game. Saturday, Jameson Taillon goes 7 innings. They do not pitch Zach Britton. They make a comeback. They win the game. Today, Zach Britton, who's making $13 million, by the way, the 2016 third place in the Cy Young, he knows a thing or two about tense moments and big-time atmospheres. They put him in too late. They left Losiaga in way too long in the eighth inning. The Red Sox scored 5 runs in the eighth. Aaron Boone has a lot of answers to – he has a lot of questions to answer to begin with. Or he has answers to questions to begin with. This weekend is going to be probably one of his worst. This is going to cost him his job. It should. You can't look at this as being Cashman's fault because he set them up with a very good bullpen. He said the rotation guys that he brought in, the starters, were excellent. And he just pushed the wrong buttons for some inexplicable reason.
And here are the Yankees now 9 games back of the Boston Red Sox, the hated and their rival Boston Red Sox. Tampa Bay's right there. So the Yankees are 4 games over 500 right now, but it feels like they're, I don't know, 40 games under 500, the atmosphere around the team. But it is telling. And I don't, like, buy fully into run differential because sometimes, you know what, you'll have a big game and, you know, the numbers could be skewed. But there's a big enough sample size now. And, in fact, if you look, 61-39, it's exactly 100 games. So the Boston Red Sox run differential, plus 68. Tampa Bay Rays run differential after 100 games, plus 92. Toronto Blue Jays run differential, plus 86 right now. They're 49-46. They're plus 86. New York Yankees, plus 5. Wow, what does that tell you, Jason? Their run differential, plus 5 on the season.
Yeah, they're not – we nailed this earlier in the season. They're just not that good. They're over-under for 97 games. I couldn't hit the under button fast enough and for them to not make the playoffs. They still are only 3.5 games out of the second wild card spot because Oakland, which I'm sure we'll get to in a second, they are doing really poorly in the last 30, 40 games. And they're kind of just nestling on the huge win buildup they had in May and mid-June. But the Yankees, they're going to have a massive mess to clean up. They should have won 3 out of 4. I personally don't. If I were them, I would be sellers. It's easy to say that from my point of view. They have a series coming up in Tampa Bay. Listen, if they win 2 out of 3, everyone's going to be all roses, and they can say, well, 2.5 games out, we can do this. But I still would be looking to trade Chapman. I'd be looking to trade Britton. I'd be very quietly taking offers on Judge, even though I wouldn't trade him. He seems like a Yankee for life guy, but he is unrestricted after 2022.
Oh, he seems like he's a hurt for life guy to me.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. Like, he's just he's a great guy, nice kid, always hurt. So when you look at this division right now, What did you make of Tampa? Did you like the Nelson Cruz acquisition?
Absolutely loved it. They needed someone with pop in their bat. They needed another threatening bat. I don't think they're done making moves because they know they're in a dogfight to win that division. They need to win that division. They can't go into the wild card, even though they will probably be substantially better than the second wild card team. They need to get into that divisional round. And that's going to be a dogfight with the Red Sox. Red Sox are probably also going to arm up. Listen, Nelson Cruz... He has had one of the most spectacular last 10 years of any.
He's 41 years old.
And he has been amazing. No one wanted to give him 4 years. The Mariners did. He raked. No one wanted to give him a couple years. The Twins did. He raked. He is going to be a massive problem to deal with in the AL.
Now, so the updated odds right now at FanDuel, the Boston Red Sox are plus 100. The Tampa Bay Rays are plus 115. The Toronto Blue Jays plus 950. The Yankees are now 14-1. And the Baltimore Orioles are 15 billion to one to win the division, something like that. $500 million to one.
Kudos to them because they just swept the Nationals. Probably the, that was probably a season-defining sweep by the Nationals, or getting swept by the Nationals, because they're probably going to be definitively sellers. And good for the Orioles for playing hard. Like, they are they went into the series 33 games under 500.
Well, they do compete. They show up. They don't roll over. They do compete.
They're kind of like the Tigers, just the Tigers have a little bit more talent, and you're kind of seeing it. Tigers are one of the best teams in baseball before getting swept this past weekend. But they are in the similar vein. Their issues are not because of effort and integrity. Their issues are talent.
Dude, since mid-May, the Tigers are one of the best teams in the league. It's pretty crazy, actually.
I know.
It really is. And we'll get to another team that also had a very big weekend, especially with the trade deadline coming up. But talking about the updated odds here, and I brought this up, Jason, a couple of times about how games in the last 2 weeks, so you and I have been talking about the trade deadline for a while, for about a month now, but from, let's say, you know, last weekend, July 18th or so, until July 30th.
Yeah.
Those games are massive for teams to decide whether they're buying or selling, as you just stated. You know what I mean? Like, even if a team is thinking about, you know what, we're thinking about selling, but whoa, we just went 12-2 in the last 14. We can't sell. We're in this thing. Fans are excited. And I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought the Toronto Blue Jay players had an opportunity to send a message to ownership that, hey, do something here. We're that close. What's your take on the Jays week coming out of the All-Star break and how things have played out? Because they've been underwhelming as well. Let's be real. They're starting to fall back in a pack.
They lost a tough series to the Mets. Them and the Mets are so similar. You feel like they should be better. They have a lot more talent than they do. They kind of find ways to lose. Blue Jays today were up 3-1, 2-on, nobody out, top of the sixth. They had a chance to bust it wide open, and they didn't get anything.
Let me ask you about the Blue Jays manager, because somebody asked me today, will Rogers be aggressive? And it was someone in Chicago, and we were talking about the trade deadline and stuff and on Twitter. And I think he goes, oh, Rogers are terrible owners, aren't they? And I actually defended them. I said, no, they're actually not. I said they give the GM and they give the team whatever they need, actually.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you have to sell them on certain big contracts, but look at, they just brought George Springer in. They just, you know, so you can't talk about the problem with them investing. My personal belief, it's the manager. I know they like him. He's a player's guy. But I think if the Jays, they leave too many wins on the field, in my opinion. And listen, we'll get Jason's take about on this on the other side. If it's the managerial position with Montoya with the Toronto Blue Jays that needs a change in the big picture. The Late Night Anger Management Pass continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
.com.
Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like real easy. In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
We're talking baseball. Let's do this thing. We're breaking it down. SiriusXM Channel 204. It's the Late Night Anger Management Class. I am Gabe Morency, Jason B. Packafin. Kicking it with us, former general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, a 3-time champion. So as we went into break, I was just talking about the Blue Jays and their manager. What do you think about Montoya as a manager, Jason?
I think he's great. I'm not on – it's so easy in baseball and maybe in hockey too, but it's so easy to be like, well, this move didn't work out and they lost because of this. I think that the players are allowed to swing away and to be comfortable, and that helps them maximize their potential. He might not be the best X's and O's guy. I think also the Blue Jays are a few games better than they should be. I think they maybe went up the ladder one or two rungs too high this year because they're playing games that really matter, and then their spotlight is on them because of wins and losses. I think they're going to give them another chance for next year, unless they totally tank this year and they have to bring in someone. Because remember, speaking of Chicago, there's a perfectly good manager sitting there in Ricky Renteria, who did a great job with the Cubs building that bridge to get to Joe Maddon, and then who was unceremoniously fired this past offseason to get Tony La Russa. Like, he's just sitting there. And that could be someone that can literally just take Montoyo's position. Personally, I would give Montoyo another chance. They're only four games out. It's funny we talk about the Yankees as a huge failure, 3.5 games out. Yeah. The Blue Jays are 4 games out. And they're going back home July 30th. That's like going to be a huge jolt for them. I would suspect they're going to be buyers. Maybe not big ones. Remember 2015? But they also got Ben Revere. And they also got LaTroy Hawkins. And they kind of fixed up the back end of their roster.
I think Kyle Gibson's a perfect guy for them. Only making $8 million.
Yeah, they'd have to give up quite a bit to get him. They do have great prospects. They do have a great farm system. He's also signed through 2022, so that would be a play also for next year. Listen, I'm always in favor of trading guys that are under contract if you're very good, especially for prospects. You don't know what you're going to get for prospects. Not to mention, you know, you talk about Aaron Judge. Look at a guy like Byron Buxton. You love to watch him play. He's really one of the only players whose defense is worth the price of admission. He's never healthy, and that could happen. So that's why maybe you trade a prospect now to get a proven guy who's also very durable in Kyle Gibson.
Well, last week the National Hockey League welcomed the Seattle Kraken to the league, and, of course, they had their expansion draft. And it almost feels like the Chicago Cubs are having an expansion draft. Like, basically, all right, like, it's like a yard sale, right? Yeah. Everything must go. Like, I've never really seen a team that can really tip the scales as much as this. Like, you know, there's teams that have, you know what I mean? They got a couple of guys that are not very good. Like, I don't mean the players aren't very good, but the team's not very good, but they got some decent guys that they want to get rid of. These are blue chip guys.
Yeah.
Like, and especially if you can, like, let's be real. A Kimbrel Bryant duo, bro, can put you over the top.
Easily.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like if you get on the phone with the Cubs and you pull off a right deal, you are putting yourself in a position to win a World Series. Let's start off with Craig Kimbrel right now. Let's start off with Craig Kimbrel. And let me ask you about the Los Angeles Dodgers, because you talked about Boone and Boone watching a rookie pitcher throw wild pitch after wild pitch in a row. So Kenley Jansen got booed off the field on the Thursday night. And then for whatever reason, or Wednesday night it was, excuse me, Wednesday night, and then because Thursday night was the last game of the series. And then Thursday night, the Dodgers have a 3-1 lead, and it's like, dude, don't put him out there for his own sake.
Yeah.
For his own sake. Not only do they put him out there, they left him out there, bro. And I think it just sort of highlights, it's been the elephant in the room. He can't be the closer. He could be one of the closers. I'm not saying fire the guy and drive him to the bus station and tell him, you know, you're on your own, kid. But something has to be done here, in my opinion. What's your take on Dave Roberts? I think he's loyal to a fault. He's a player's guy. He's loyal to a fault. He's in, oh, that's my guy. He's my guy. But he should have protected him by not putting him out there. But I think the Dodgers have to do something at the back end here. What's your opinion on the Dodgers?
I liked putting him in on Thursday. I think he's earned the right to pitch out of it. I think he's earned the right. You know, he's one of the all-time leaders in saves for the Dodgers. If it wasn't the Dodgers, he probably would have his number retired there when he does retire. He's been a huge bridge to this era, and it is unfortunate to watch him blow saves. That couldn't have worked out any better for the Cubs, because the price for Kimbrel just
through
the roof. And what's interesting is David Price, who's on the Dodgers. The Red Sox are paying half his salary. Is he a closer? Is he a starter? Is he going to be a long man? Is he going to be a middle guy? Is he going to be an Andrew Miller type? We don't know. With Trevor Bauer probably never pitching again, if I were the Dodgers, I would say, okay, let's go Bryant, Kimbrel, and Hendricks. Let's go all three of those guys. Hendricks is signed for the 2 more years. Bryant's a free agent. Kimbrel's a free agent. Let's try and win. We don't want to just win. We don't. The Dodgers' template of what not to do is actually the Cubs. Where you look at the Cubs, you're like, we should have played in another World Series or two, right? The Dodgers can say, you know what, we were aggressive getting Bauer. Probably shouldn't have let go of Kike Hernandez. I'm sure they want that one back. Maybe go out and be a little bit over aggressive. They're going to have to beat. One, they're going to have to beat either the Brewers and or another team in the NL West, maybe even two out of those three or three out of those three. And that's not very good. Right? If they want to win the World Series, they need to get more depth, and they have to get an anchor closer who you know the game is over when he's in, and that's Craig Kimbrel.
So you've got Craig Kimbrel. So who are the other contenders, in your opinion? Are the Boston Red Sox in the mix for Kimbrel? Houston Astros, Philadelphia Phillies, San Francisco Giants. There's going to be a lot of teams in the mix here, right?
I mean, listen, everybody should be in on him. The New York Mets. Every single person should want Craig Kimbrel. This guy's put up almost a Hall of Fame career already. He's only 33 years old. A name to watch is going to be Aroldis Chapman, because if the Yankees lose their first two against Tampa Chapman signed for next year with all of his issues, if a team wants to take on the contract or if the Yankees can eat a bit, that's going to change. It's going to drastically change the market quite a bit. Chapman's still amazing. He is having a good year. But if the Yankees want to rebuild, if the Yankees want to get better players in the minor league system, trading Chapman would be a good way to start.
I think Chapman getting out of New York would be good for him as well. You'd see a fresh start. And you know what? I like where you're going with that. They've kind of turned on him anyways. Like, listen, dude, they trade Aaron Judge or something. You know what I mean? They're gonna run Cashman over in the parking lot. But the Yankees could get away with trading Chapman. And the talk shows might bitch for a couple hours, but it'll fizzle out. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Not only that, they have a closer. Zach Britton can close. He's the Rule Aids guy. He did not in 2016. Like, he is a closer. They could actually trade Chapman for a player now, quote unquote, the old hockey trade, where it's good player for good player, and not miss a beat. The other team to keep an eye on are the Washington Nationals. This losing streak might actually do them good for the long run. Daniel Hudson, Brad Hand. They're going to also control the bullpen arms. Brad Hand, great closer. Daniel Hudson, of course, was great for the Blue Jays. He's been great for the Nationals the last couple of years. He was instrumental in their World Series win. Not to mention Josh Harrison, Jay Bell signed through next year. Trey Turner, I don't think they would ever trade him. Kyle Schwarber, if he gets back healthy. Max Scherzer's a free agent. They have a lot of players to trade, and they could be the hub of the free agent market. The hub of the trade deadline, just like the Cubs are.
Looking at the Cubs, obviously Chris Bryant, former MVP, is available as well. And are they, Kimbrel, like we said, Kimbrel and Bryant, if you can get them together, that would be great. What's your take on Bryant? The Mets were in connection, and it was Bryant and the Mets, and the Mets have the money this, and the Mets have that. But the longer it goes, the more other teams are involved in this, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's not just the Mets in the mix here. The Phillies, you and I talked about the Phillies last week for Bryant. What do you think is going to happen to Bryant here? And there's been some reports that the San Francisco Giants have actually kicked the tires on this.
Not surprising. Evan Longoria has been hurt. He was off to a great start. Chris Bryant.
Exactly. That's the thing. They can move Bryant around, guys. You and Jason, right? Bryant can play almost any position, this guy. Yeah. Outfield, third base, first base, anywhere.
The Padres just got Adam Frazier from the Pirates. He's leading the league in hits. He's an all-star for the first year. He's like Kike Hernandez. He can play second base. He can play every single outfield position. Chris Bryant can play third base. He can probably play first base. He has played left field. He has played center field. It gives a team, especially in the National League with all those changes and double switches, it gives a team a lot of leverage, and it gives their manager a lot of leverage when you get a guy like Bryant. The Mets are going into a five-game series against the Braves. They got a doubleheader tomorrow. That is without Jacob deGrom. It is going to be very telling what happens after this series is over on July 29th. It's going to be very telling what's going to happen, because if the Braves, let's say, take 3 out of 5 and they knock the Braves down a little bit, and the Phillies and Nationals beat each other up, the Mets could be 6 or 7 games up in first place, and they're going to be in a much better position also. And they might say, let's move all in here.
It's funny, Jason, because last week we were talking about the Philadelphia Phillies and they just didn't do it. They had their opportunity. Yeah. They didn't do it. It's like the Mets aren't perfect, but everyone else around them is so dysfunctional or injured that they're, and you're right. The Mets are basically a good week away from burying people right now.
Yeah,
they really are. But so the odds are -230. The Philadelphia Phillies are +360 right now. The Atlanta Braves are +450. Nationals are back to 18-1, and the Marlins are 85-1. Is this it for the Braves? How big of a week is this for the Braves right now? I know you still don't. You haven't written them off yet, but man, are they hurt. If they can pull this off, get in the playoffs with all the injuries, then whatever. We'll give Anthopoulos the GM of the year when it's all said and done, right? But Big week for the Braves coming up. They're lingering at plus 650. What do you think? Are you writing them off, or are they still in the mix?
I think if they can get 4 out of 5 against the Mets, they walk into the Brewers and they get the Cardinals, it's going to be really tough. They have to come out really, really strong. And if out of their next 8 games, 5 against the Mets, 3 against the Brewers, if they can pick up 6, then they get the Cardinals, who aren't doing so hot, the Nationals, the Reds, and the Nationals again. There's room for them. Plus 350, I think you said. That's pretty good value. But we're going to know pretty quickly.
650.
On Mets. 650, excuse me. That is
The Phillies. Phillies are plus 360. Yeah, the Braves are plus 650. All right, hold on, Jason. We got to get out of here. One more segment with Jason on the other side. The Dodgers are the lowest they've ever been. We'll tell you about the numbers on the other side to win the National League West.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us. I mean, it's possible. Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night? That's what she told us. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Brandt. The principal players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it with Jason B. Tackerman for one more segment. Talking baseball, time always flies. And Jason joins us every Sunday night. And you want more Jason B. Tackerman? He's got a great podcast as well. Jason, why don't you let people know where they can find you on Twitter and your podcast?
At IBWAA Podcast. It drops every Wednesday morning. We end every single show with a Hall of Fame debate of players who are not in, and we debate whether they should be in or not. This week, we are talking about Gil Hodges.
Gil Hodges, kicking it old school. Interesting.
Gil Hodges.
I like it. I like it. And you know what? Whatever happened with your Dale Murphy debate, actually, because I sent you a tweet. It was, I saw, Dale Murphy, does he belong in the Hall of Fame or not? And you said, oh, interestingly enough, we're talking about Dale Murphy this week. I tell you what, like, as a kid, going to see Atlanta Braves games, like when they would come to town, they were terrible.
Yeah.
Like terrible, terrible. Like the worst team in the league, terrible. Right after the Hank Aaron era type of stuff. But one guy that wasn't, I always felt bad for him. And it was cool to see him in the All-Star game because, like, oh, he gets to play with real players, was Dale Murphy. What was the conclusion? Was Dale Murphy a Hall of Famer?
I voted he was in a Hall of Fame. My co-host Dan did not. I'm very big on lineup protection. And Dale Murphy, like you said, did not have any. But he still had – he won 2 MVPs. He had 3 other top 12 MVP finishes, 5 gold gloves, 4 silver sluggers, 6 straight All-Stars, 7 in total. That means a lot. And his numbers at the end were diluted because that's when the money started to kick in for free agents. So, of course, he's going to play into the early 90s. And of course, he's going to play with Colorado and Philadelphia because he's getting paid the most. That dilutes his numbers. For me, Dale Murphy, if he had a better team or if he was born 15 years earlier with free agent and a DH in the American League, he 100% would be in the Hall of Fame and have much better numbers.
Jason B. Tackerman kicking it with us on Sunday, bloody Sunday. So I brought up going into the last, when we were going to the last break there, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I've been tracking the number all year. This is as low as it's been, minus 170 right now, minus 170. And remember, guys, the San Francisco Giants, these guys were 24-1. I remember when they were up like by 4 or 5 games like a month ago or 2 months ago. And we were talking and we're like, wow, these guys are in first place and they're 18-1 still, 16-1. And I think they were 12-1 when you and I spoke on June 1st. And I said that teams that are in first place, like in June 1st, win like 59% of the time, the division type of deal. So here they are all the way down to plus 200 right now. It's an incredible, incredible story. Both San Francisco and Boston. The surprise stories of the year in baseball. The Dodgers are minus 170. San Francisco's plus 200. We talked about the Dodgers addressing the bullpen. I do expect the Dodgers to be, I don't know about super aggressive, but I think they'll make a couple of moves before Friday's deadline. What do you make of this division? If I had to ask you right now, who's going to win the division, the Dodgers or the Giants? Who are you saying?
I'm going to say the Dodgers because they have a deeper farm system, and I do think they're going to be more aggressive. You want to talk about run differential? The Dodgers are plus 146. That is 26 runs above the number two place team, which is, aptly, the San Francisco Giants. I think the Dodgers should and will be aggressive. They have way too good of a team. The core is intact. Their best players are the cheapest they will ever be. That includes Walker Buehler. They have Clayton Kershaw pitching really well. And you know what? Kenley Jansen probably could be, he probably will be very useful down the stretch. He was pitching very well before this week. They do need help in the bullpen. I think the Dodgers, whether it's a Gavin Lux or another one of the super prospects, they are going to be aggressive. And I think they're going to go out and take that division.
So, Jason, you have experience in the minor leagues. And I said, for people just joining us right now, Jason was a general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, a Toronto Blue Jay affiliate, won three championships. So I think you could give us a better insight to this than anybody. So members of the Angels organization in the minor leagues, so Kieran Lovegrove, and this is pretty dangerous. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking, wow, you're a double-A player, and you're coming out like this. So Kieran Lovegrove of the double-A Rocket City, it's the Angels affiliate, is tells ESPN he's living with six other teammates in a three-bedroom apartment. Pitcher Shane Kelso pitches for A-ball, Inland Empire, this season before retiring. Says other minor league players have slept in camper vans parked at a trailer park in the parking lot, while other players are living out of their cars. Lovegrove goes on to say it's gotten to the point now where guys are in serious mental health crisis because of how stressful money is. I really do think it not only affects their play on the field, but it's affecting our quality of play of life, our quality of life overall. We're reaching a point now where this is actually becoming detrimental to the player's overall health, and the owner is not addressing it, actively saying that they don't care about the health of the players. He said, we're not getting enough protein to keep muscle mass. We're not eating enough. Lovegrove says that he's driving Lyft and Uber and working for UPS and Best Buy to supplement his income. He and Kelso are both critical of minor league players' lack of access to quality food. We're not receiving enough nutrition to maintain muscle mass. We've had guys losing 5 pounds in the last 2 weeks. Lovegrove asserts the issue starts with ownership, saying Angels owner Artur Moreno doesn't give a crap about the winning side of running a baseball team. Is Moreno completely out of touch with the reality of what it's like to be a player? Probably, Lovegrove says. And I don't really see a change because I don't know how he doesn't really care about the quality organization so much, considering how much amount of money that it produces. The Angels have just released a statement. What is being reported is unacceptable. We will look into it and address it. Now, Jason, the minor leagues are supposed to be uncomfortable, right? Like when the Jays went to Buffalo, there was the talk of, man, the clubhouse is not Major League Baseball quality. It's not supposed to be. The guys are supposed to be uncomfortable to motivate them to get to the big leagues. But Jason, talk to me. Isn't there a difference between, hey, you're not in the big leagues yet, kid,
yeah,
and living in your car in the parking lot or living six guys in an apartment in a pandemic? What's your opinion on this story?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between $125 per diem per day and three catered meals and five-star hotels and living six in an apartment. Baseball housing has always been difficult because typically housing is done by the minor league team, and they are in charge of feeding the players, transportation, where the players live, getting the players to and from the ballpark, depending on how old they are, if it's sort of an older league and they have families and they have cars. But it's always different because it's always difficult because the players could be traded or they can be released or they can be let go or they can be promoted or demoted at any given time. And typically, organizations have them stay at billet families. So it's very easy when one player comes in, another moves out, and it's much easier to deal with a person and a family.
So where did your players stay? With families?
Our housing families are the centerpiece of our sort of community outreach. We worked very hard to procure great families who wanted a player in their home, were not doing it for the money or the free baseball tickets, and who really had a very good home for the players, understood that a player comes and goes at 4 or 5 in the morning, understood that they're very busy. They don't necessarily have time to play catch and have enough time to, like, hang out. But if they do want to hang out, there's a family there. and they're not on the hook for rent, or they're not on the hook for a lease or something where a landlord and not to mention they are fed. They are fed from a house. And that story with the Angels, that's more – I think it's more of an aberration, and it's more of the Angels kind of not knowing a little bit, maybe trusting the – I don't want to say too much just because I don't know.
Yeah.
They trust their affiliate a little bit more. We always had really good relationships with the A's. My first year as general manager was with the Oakland A's. I did housing for 3 years before that and 3 years with the Blue Jays.
Did the A's – were they active in checking in saying, hey, how's he doing? How's this kid doing? How's he like – you know what I mean?
Yeah, the A – you know, we – to be honest, we kind of got – lucky in that the Olympic curling facility was built in our parking lot. So from 2010, we had a state-of-the-art gym where the players can go to. So it changed up how the players were working out, and the Blue Jays sent one or two strength coaches because they were able – it was very easy to get a good lift in before. The A's trusted us. They were kind of hands-off, and the Blue Jays after their first year were pretty hands-off because everything was sort of down to a science. We leaned on the Blue Jays quite a bit for transportation and immigration help because – Vancouver is pretty far away from Eugene and Salem and Boise, and we needed a second bus because you can't have someone like Noah Syndergaard cramped into a school bus for 7 hours and expect him to pitch. It just doesn't make sense. He's not built like you and I. He's not he's literally
a big
body,
dude,
but his body is an asset. He cannot be. You have to treat it as such.
Yes.
He's not flying first class, by the way. He's still waking up at 5 a.m. to get that bus, but he needs to be stretched out. He's 6'6", right? And I think that. Teams are one of the reasons why teams are kind of Major League Baseball is taking a little bit more ownership of their minor league affiliates is for the development is they want to make sure that the players are eating properly. They want to be able to make sure they're sleeping properly. They want to control everything because they're spending so much money on scouting and procurement and drafting and opportunity costs and trades. They need to make sure that
it seems crazy to me. Exactly, Jason, that a team would put so much money into the R&D of it and then just drop these kids in Iowa and not know what the hell's going on with them. Right.
And it's changing. And that's one of the reasons why everyone says that Major League Baseball is cutting minor league baseball because it's a cash grab. It actually is going to cost Major League Baseball if they do things – if the teams do things the way they should, which I think they will, it's going to cost them more because they're going to have sleep doctors and nutritionists and more strength coaches traveling with them. They're going to be staying at 3+-star hotels. They're going to be eating better. They're going to be traveling better. That's not cheap, right? Like – so there may be less minor league baseball players, but the minor league baseball players weren't getting paid that much to begin with. The Major League Baseball is going to be shorter but deeper into their minor league system, which is going to be good for the player because they're going to be fed properly, looked after properly. There's going to be a lot more mental health coaching, a lot more mental health performance, a lot more meditation and sort of, you know, on the mental side of it because they're going to be able to – they're going to be able to literally look at players differently because there's half of the players there. And I think that's going to be very good, but not necessarily cheaper.
And, you know, I understand toughing it out a bit. It's like being in a band. Listen, you're going on the road and the tough will survive type of thing, right?
Yeah.
How bad do you want it, kid? Are you willing to suffer, you know, for 4 years, one of those type of deals? But at the same point in time, it just emphasizes how freaking hard it is to make the big leagues. I mean,
yeah, the stat, when I left minor league baseball, it was 7% of players drafted play one game minimum in the majors.
Only 7% of the players drafted play one game.
So amongst the players who are deemed as feasible to play in Major League Baseball one day, 7% of those. It's the minor league system is really rigorous. One of the reasons why Major League Baseball wanted to also cut the layers also is to get players in their prime and not to have that many hurdles to get from being drafted to Major League Baseball. And toughing it out is one thing, but, you know, sleeping, not getting adequate sleep or not getting adequate nutrition or even transportation issues, that's another thing. And I think that there's no excuse for that. I know the teams are looking into it. And it's one thing if you have like AAA is uncomfortable because you really want to get to the show. But it's one thing. It's another thing if you're younger and then you're looking up at 3 years and you're like, I don't really
want to. Guys end up quitting. That's what the story's saying. There's guys who are just quitting now saying, I screw this. I'm not living like this.
And not only that, you have your Kyler Murray's. And your Jameis Winston.
Yes, sir. Right? That said, yes, yeah, bingo. That's what I was thinking about before. When people said, oh, Kyler will never play football. Why? He knows. He gets the bonus right away.
Yeah.
And you start right away in the NFL. You don't have to go right to Vermont and play A-ball.
Yeah, a little bit different for Kyler Murray and Jameis Winston because they were first overall quarterbacks and they get about $45 million guaranteed off the bat. Plus, they get that fifth-year option. So, and they're quarterbacks and they're treated differently. But a Jeff Samardzija, who was a great wide receiver at Notre Dame and also a great pitcher, that formerly he was going to go to Major League Baseball. There's no head trauma. You can be average and make $13, $14 million a year. He has made $130 million plus. He is a perfectly average.
Yeah, but you've got to be guaranteed that you're good enough to play. That, like, look at Drew Henson. We got to get out of here, Jason. Yeah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Actually, look at Drew Henson in the old days. Could have been a number one pick in the NFL draft. Took Steinbrenner's money. Couldn't hit. Right?
I heard that rumor was in lieu of a donation to Ohio State. Instead, he gave Drew Henson money to get him away from Michigan because he was so good.
That's crazy. It wouldn't surprise me. Jason B. Tackerman, always a pleasure, my man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You think I'm dead, but I'm not. Risen from the ashes, take what you've got. You think I'm dead, but I'm not. Left for dead, left I'm right.
Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Thanks to Jason B. Tackerman for joining us on the program. Ian Cameron, Dave Sharapan, Mick Aussie checked in as well. It was a full house. We'll have a full house throughout the week as well. Countdown is on right now, guys. We're now officially 10 days away from the start of the National Football League preseason. Think about that. It's crazy, huh? Here it is. So, you don't want to have to worry about betting on Norwegian handball like everybody is in our chat right now. God bless you guys, degenerates. I love it. And I tell you what, I've warned you about handball, and you know me. I bet on everything, all right? But handball, I'm not messing with it. Those are the sharpest lines in the history of sports. I don't know what it is and why they are so sharp, handball lines, but they are. We took it on the chin tonight. I mean, the Olympics, they're on all day pretty much, right? Except during the day, which is pretty cool for us night owls. So I took it on the chin. I won earlier. I won the under in the U.S. women's softball game. I lose the Slovenia total against Argentina. I lose the Canada total. I should have known better, Canada and Italy in women's softball, because it was a meaningless game, and Italy didn't start their best pitchers because, you know, they were already eliminated. Canada's playing Australia for bronze on Tuesday night, so we'll be all over that. Dave Sharapan will join us, of course, on Game Time Decisions tomorrow. He'll join us on Game Time Decisions, as well as on Tuesday night after the gold medal game. So we'll have more Olympic picks for you. So as far as the NBA draft, we're getting into the NBA draft on tomorrow's show. Everything, you know, jump in right now. It's starting to get set in stone right now. So we know that Cunningham's going to be the first pick, but Jalen Green's going number two. Get better at FanDuel right now. The odds keep on getting worse, though, every hour. And it looks like Evan Mobley's going third overall. Suggs fourth. We'll catch you tomorrow. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't. And wish
you. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.